إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, is our first session as we resume after the break for the month of Ramadan. And in tonight's session, بإذن الله تعالى, it is our intention to continue with the topic that we started in the final session before Ramadan. Before doing so, though, we want to quickly review some of the points that we covered in the previous session in the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 17 from the Sharh or Explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, and the commentary of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. I know it's been a while since the previous session, and I imagine that some of us have forgotten everything, if not most of it. In the last session, I made a reminder or a note that from the ways of benefiting from these lessons is, as we were advised some time ago, that if a person wants to benefit more, then before coming to a lesson, you should preview the lesson that you're going to be taking. Preview it. Can you read the chapter before you come to class? And in addition to that, we should also review what we have taken. So if we have reviewed what we took in the last session, and we previewed what we're going to take tonight, inshallah, hopefully we'll be able to benefit more. So from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 17, the study guide that we passed out tonight has the questions from the previous session, session 17, and on the other side, the questions are going to be for tonight's lecture. So from the questions from the previous session, for lecture number 17, the first question was, mentioned the sifa affirmed in the first hadith of this chapter and the wording wherein this sifa is mentioned. What is the sifa that is affirmed in the first hadith of the chapter that we took in session number 17? What is the sifa and what is the wording of the hadith in which it is mentioned? Anyone? Naam. Kalam. Naam. Kalam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would speak. That Allah would speak. And what is the wording of the hadith in which it's mentioned? Sharif? Except that his Lord will speak to him. Anybody want to complete that sentence? Except that his Lord will speak to him when? When is this speaking going to take place? Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani, that every person who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will speak to them. Laysa baynahu wa baynahu tarjuman. And there will be no translator, no intercessor between them. Allah will speak directly to every person on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Second question, mentioned the sifa, which is affirmed in the text of a hadith, yani the hadith that followed, number 1, yani 2, 3, 4, and 5. What is the sifa or sifat which are affirmed in these hadith? Hadith number 2, 3, 4, and 5. Naam, Zakariya.
Healing, highness.
Mercy, healing, highness.
His
own encompassing knowledge. Okay, so there were many sifat in some of these, as we mentioned some of them, and some of them we didn't mention, but there were primary characteristics or qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to which these hadith were mentioned. Primary sifat, yani that due to which these hadith were mentioned. For example, in the second hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Rabbuna." رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ. And what was intended in this hadith is that the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being above the heavens. And that was the maqsood, yani what was intended by mentioning of this hadith. In the third hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Will you not trust me while I am what? Aminu, man fis sama. I am the one who is entrusted by the one who is fis sama. And what is intended by this hadith, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah intends what? To mention this hadith for the purpose of affirming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the heavens. And in the fourth hadith, the wording of the hadith, wal arsh fawqa al-ma, wallahu fawqa al-arsh. And what is intended here is the fawqiyah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the throne. And in the fifth hadith, the jariyah, she was asked by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where is Allah? And she said, fi sama. So what was intended by the mention of these hadith, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, in that chapter he's affirming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being above the throne, yani of his, yani ulu, that he is high above the creation, that he is above the throne, that he is above the heavens. Question number three, what is the deviation with which the sharih, yani the explainer of the text, that is, who is the sharih, explainer of the text? Shaykh al-Islam is the shari, he's the explainer of the text, or he's the author of the text? Who's the shari? Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah. What is the deviation which the shari, the explainer of the text, describes the Jahmiyyah, yani with which the shari describes the Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila? Yani what did he describe the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, with what deviation did he describe them with? Adam. Inshallah. Allahu musta'an.
The Asma wa Sifat?
He described them with, what about Asma wa Sifat?
So they rejected it?
Oh, rejecting. Al-Inkar. That they rejected the Asma of Allah and the Sifat. He described them with the deviation of Inkar, yani rejecting. Rejecting the Asma and Sifat. And what is the deviation? Question number four. What is the deviation with which the Shari describes the Maturudiyya and the Ash'ariyya, or the Ash'ariyya? What did he describe them with? Abdul Wali.
They make ta'wil of the Sifat of Allah.
That they make ta'wil, meaning that they do, somebody else. What does ta'wil mean? Now, Ahmed.
They affirm some and negate.
They did affirm some and negate some, that's true. But what is meant here by ta'wil? Now, what exactly does ta'wil? Naam, Adu. Huh?
Making a false interpretation.
That they give a false interpretation. They reinterpret the obvious apparent meanings of the sifat of Allah with some false interpretation. Question number five. Mention the sifa affirmed in the sixth hadith and the wording of the hadith where this sifa is mentioned. What is the sifa mentioned in the sixth hadith? What is the sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned? What is the sixth hadith? What is the sixth hadith? Naam. Anybody remember the sixth hadith? Hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Afdal al-Iman. What is the best Iman? Naam. Who is this over here?
Amir.
Amir, naam.
The best faith is for you to know that Allah is with you wherever you may be.
Is that you know that Allah is ma'aka, wherever you may be. Yani the sifa here that's described in this hadith is ma'iyya. Ma'iyya. What type of ma'iyya? Al-khasa. Yani Allah is with you wherever you are, with everyone wherever they are. Amma. Yani general ma'iyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Question number six. How has the Shari explained what appears to be a contradiction? How has he explained what appears to be a contradiction? Appears to be. It's not, but it appears to be a contradiction between Allah being above the heavens and being with you at the same time. How has he explained this apparent contradiction? Who hasn't answered the question yet? Naam, Ahmed.
By Allah being with you with his knowledge.
That Allah is with you by his knowledge. Naam. And that he is above the throne? Huh? He's above the throne how? In what way? How did he describe it? Huh?
Bidhatihi.
It is that Allah, He Himself, His Divine Being, is above the arsh, is above the heavens. And He is with you at the same time, how? By His knowledge. Question number seven. Mention an example of al-ma'iyya al-khasa from one of the two stories in the Qur'an mentioned by the Shari. He mentioned two references in the Qur'an. Mention one of them. Naam. Do you have your hand up? Yeah, it looks like it's up, but I don't know if it's up
or
not.
Anybody,
any story now. They mentioned that a story that that came in the Quran that is an example of Al Ma'iyya Al Khasa. Now, the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And in there, and in that mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Abu Bakr, what was it that he said, Sharif? Do not grieve, do not be sad, do not worry, for inna Allaha ma'ana, because Allah is with us. So this is what type of ma'iyya? Al-khasa. Al-khasa. And ma'iyya al-khasa is distinguished from ma'iyya al-ama in what way?
For the people of taqwa.
For the people of taqwa, the people of iman, the people of patience, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them, not just by knowledge, but that Allah aids, supports, defends, protects, takes care of them, guides them. Now, what was the other story, by the way? The other story that he mentions, of Ma'iyya al-Khasa. Naam. Adam.
Actually, never mind. I'll take that one.
Never mind? Okay. Let's try this young man here. Ameen. There's a story that's mentioned in the Quran of Al-Ma'iyya al-Khasa. That's like the story of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Abu Bakr. Who was that story about? Naam. It was about the Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning them, what did he say concerning them? Inni ma'akuma, that I am with the two of you. Asma wa ara. Now, the last question number 8, mentioned the sifa affirmed in the 7th hadith and the wording of the hadith where this sifa is mentioned. What is the sifa that's mentioned in the 7th hadith? What is the sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's mentioned in the 7th hadith? Do you have your hand up? A little bit? Now, fadl. Anybody remember what was the 7th hadith now?
No.
Yani, what? Huh?
The face of Allah.
The face of Allah. What about the face of Allah?
It is a real face.
What is the hadith? What hadith did it come in? Huh? If one of you stands for prayer, Yabsuk. Don't spit. Qibala. Wajihi. Don't spit in front of himself. And not on his right side. Qibala. Because Allah is in front of his face. Allah is in front of you. Yani, if a person is praying and they need to spit, don't spit in front of you, nor on your right side. Rather, you should spit on the left or underneath your foot. Because what? Because Allah is in front of you. Because Allah is in front of you. So what is the sifa here? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of the praying person. Al-Musalli. Naam. Bismillah. Tayyib. These are some of the points that we covered last week. And this topic is continued here about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being above the heavens, being above the throne, except that in this chapter tonight, the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions something in addition to the point of Allah being above the heavens and Allah being with the creation. Yani, we're going to be reading from in English from page 126 through 137, or at least part of that, maybe half of it, starting on page 126. And in Arabic, we'll be reading from page 66 through 73. The chapter is a little bit long. And we're probably going to read half of it, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, half of it. And then next week, if Allah allows, we'll read the other half. So this chapter is entitled, إِثْبَاتُ أُلُوِّ اللَّهِ فَوْكَ أَرْشِهِ لَا يُنَافِي قُرْبِهِ وَمَعِيَّتِهِ مَا خَلْقِهِ. Yani, the affirmation, affirming Allah being high above his arsh, does not negate, does not contradict his being near or being with the creation. Yani, affirming Allah being above the arsh, being above the heavens, does not contradict Allah being near or being with the creation. And we talked about this topic in some detail in the last session. And here in this chapter, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says that this affirmation of these two things are not contradictory. They are not contradictory. So here in this chapter, he mentions three hadith, which are hadith number 14, 15, and 16. From the 16 hadith that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions in this book concerning our topic. 16 hadith. These are the final three hadith that he's going to mention concerning what? What are these, all of these hadith that we have been looking at? And these are the last three of, what are they, what's the point of mentioning these hadith? Now. Okay, that's what we talked about last week, and that's what we're going to be talking about in the next few sessions. But the hadith in general, why is he mentioning these hadith? He mentioned 111 ayahs from the Quran. What is it that he's mentioning these ayahs for? What do they contain? Huh? Okay, that's a principle that we gained from that. Now. Huh? Evidences of what? Sifat of Allah. And these ayat that he mentioned contain asma of Allah and sifat of Allah. And more specifically, we're talking about the sifat, but the asma as well. And these hadith, he mentioned these 16 hadith as a sample of many authentic hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ gave us descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat. Yarhamukallah. So tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, he mentions three hadith, and these are the final three hadith that he mentioned containing sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The title of this chapter is the affirmation of Allah's highness above the throne does not contradict His nearness and His being with the creation. This chapter also contains another matter, and that is, if anybody read this chapter before, what other main point is mentioned in this chapter that's not mentioned in the title here? Ru'yatullah Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani he mentions a hadith which affirms Allah will be seen on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So that is also an important part of the, yani, or a mention of sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are in these final hadith. Okay, so today, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, like I said, yani the chapter is a little bit long. Rather than to rush through it, inshallah, we're going to take maybe half of it, probably try to take half of it. And then the second half, yani, will be the completion. The second half contains another topic that is a subtopic of what we're talking about here, very important subtopic, and it wouldn't be good for us to rush through that topic, and that's why we're just going to take the hadith tonight and the Shaykh's explanation of those hadith, and then next week the rest of what he says in this chapter. So, on page 126 in English, on page 66 in Arabic, the title, the affirmation of Allah's highness above His throne does not contradict His nearness and His being with the creation. قال المؤلف رحمه الله Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah says رحمه الله قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني his saying, the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم رب السماوات السبع ورب الأرض ورب العرش العظيم ربنا ورب كل شيء يعني O Allah the Rabb of the seven heavens, and the Rabb of the earth, and the Rabb of the magnificent throne, our Rabb and the Rabb of everything, the Rabb of everything. Yani this is how the Prophet ﷺ began this supplication. And this is a means of nearness to Allah, for a person's supplication to be, yani you want to ask for something as a means of nearness to Allah, you might mention Allah's names or His sifat as a means of nearness. Now, he said, فَالِقَ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى, the one who splits open the grains and the seeds. And he splits open, meaning open them up so that they can sprout, so that they can grow. And no one has the power to do this except Allah. And this is from His qualities and characteristics. Munazzil at-Tawrah wal-Injil wal-Qur'an, the one who revealed, who sent down the Torah and the Gospel and the Qur'an. And this is also from the sifat of Allah, related to yani what he has legislated, the sending down of revelation. أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر كل دابة أنت آخذ بناصيتها. I seek refuge in you. Yani after mentioning these names or sifat of Allah, he said, I seek refuge in you from the evil of myself. Yani that the human being within oneself, there is evil. I seek refuge in you from the evil of myself and from the evil of every animal, every creature, or every creature, that you control its, yani you have taken hold of its forelock. Yani meaning every creature on the earth who you control, that you have absolute control and power over. Yani al-akhth bin nasiya, yani it means that the one who controls something. And then he goes on to mention some of the names of Allah also. Anta al-awwalu, and their meanings or their definitions. Anta al-awwalu falaysa qablaka shay'un, you are the first. This is from the names of Allah, al-awwal, the first, and there is nothing before you. Wa anta al-akhiru falaysa ba'daka shay'un, and you are the last, and there is nothing after you. Wa anta al-zahiru falaysa fawqaka shay'un, and you are the most high, and there is nothing above you. And everything is beneath Allah. Allah is the most high. وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٌ, and you are the most near, and there is nothing that is nearer than you. اقضي عني الدين وأغنني من الفقر. So, يعني, what do you say? How do we say? يعني, relieve me of my dain, my debt. Yeah. And make me free of, يعني, of poverty. And make me free of poverty. Now, this hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim, and yani, it, we can see that it contains many sifat of Allah and many names of Allah, and it also, yani, this hadith is an indication of yani, a person seeking nearness to Allah in order to ask for something by mentioning the names and sifat of Allah. Now, طيب ما شاء الله جزاك الله خير. Okay, but in any case, جزاك الله خير, this is very important, because actually I didn't really examine carefully the translation here, and I should have, but I didn't. And so he's mentioning to us that this part of the hadith, أعوذ بك من شر نفسي, is not mentioned in the English translation. Probably, it may be just that they are reading from a different, I mean, they translate from a different narration, you know, a different script for the book, or a different narration of the hadith, Allahu A'lam. But that's an important point, because yani, seeking refuge from the evil of myself is a point. Yani, a person, from this hadith we know that we should seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves, as well as yani, from every creature that is upon the earth that Allah controls completely. So the second hadith, which is hadith number 15 of the 16 hadith mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما رفع الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أصواتهم بالذكر, يعني the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when some of his companions had raised their voice with the ذكر of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر, يعني when they raised their voice with the ذكر of Allah, he said to them, أيها الناس إِرْبَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدَعُونَ أَصَمَّ وَلَا غَائِبًا إِنَّمَا تَدَعُونَ سَمِيًّا بَصِيرًا قَرِيبًا. And that, and this part of the hadith is reported by both Bukhari and Muslim, and the last line is reported by Imam Muslim alone. إِنَّ الَّذِي تَدَعُونَهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ عُنُقْ رَاحِلَتِهِ. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. يعني مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ, the first part of the hadith up until the last line is muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the last line is narrated by Imam Muslim alone. Yani the Prophet said to them, O people, be gentle with yourselves, be easy on yourselves. Yani no need to be raising your voices, shouting, screaming. Yani take it easy on yourselves. فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدَعُونَ أَصَمْ, because you are not calling on one who is deaf, who cannot hear. وَلَا غَائِبًا, nor are you calling on one who is absent. who is absent, who doesn't see. إِنَّمَا تَدَعُونَ سَمِيًّا بَصِيرًا قَرِيبًا. Rather, you are calling upon one who hears and who sees and who is near. And just in case, yani here, just make a note that in this hadith there is yani sifat salbiya. Sifat salbiya. Remember we said that sifat are divided in consideration of different things, and one of them is a consideration of the of things that are affirmed for Allah and those sifat which are negated from Allah. So these are sifat that are negated from Allah. You are not calling on one who is deaf, nor one who is absent. Yani Allah is not deaf and He is not absent. إِنَّمَا تَدْعُونَ سَمِيًا. Rather, you're calling one who hears, who is all hearing, who hears everything. بَصِيرًا, who is not absent. Rather, he is, sees everything. And he is قَرِيب, near. And then he said, the one who you're calling upon is nearer to one of you than the neck of his riding animal. He's nearer to you than the neck of his riding animal. So they're on a journey and they all are riding on camels. And everyone, the neck of his riding camel is very near to him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you're calling on one who is nearer to you than the neck of your riding animal. The last hadith, the third hadith here in this chapter, final hadith 16, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمَرْ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ. That the Prophet ﷺ said to the people that indeed you will see your Rabb. He's talking to the believers. And if the believers will see their Rabb, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Indeed, you will see your Rabb. كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمْرَ لَيْلَةُ الْبَدْرِ. Yani you will see your Rabb just like you see the moon in the middle of the month. Yani when it is full. And so Shaykh al-Thamin rahimahullah makes a note here, what? That the seeing here is not metaphorical. It's not figurative. Just as you see the moon with your eyes, you see it. Real seeing, so you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also makes a note here that the comparison, that this is not a comparison between the moon that is seen and Allah being seen, rather, it's a comparison between the sight itself, that you will see. Just as you see the moon, you will see Allah, the sight. It's a comparison between the sight, not between that which is seen. Naam, what's happening, Akhi? Yeah, if the wording is a little bit different, don't worry about it. If it's completely different, then...
They just translated it as with no difficulty.
Yeah, so that is coming in the part of the hadith I didn't read yet. He said, you will see your Rabb just as you see the moon, Laylatul Badr, yani in the middle of the month when the moon is full. La tudamuna fi ru'yatihi. Yani you will not have any difficulty. Yani you will not find any difficulty. Or you will not have to crowd one another. You will not differ about what you have seen. Everybody will see. You will see your Rabb clearly. Every individual will see clearly without any difficulty. فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And then he said in the end of this hadith, something very interesting. فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ لَا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى صَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ تُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَالصَّلَاةٍ قَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَفَعَلُوا. متفقٌ عليه, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He said, so, first part of the hadith, what? You will see your Rabb, just as you see the moon. And some of the narrations, in the commentary, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah mentions the narration, he mentions, you will see him just as you see the sun, when the sky is clear and there are no clouds. And you will see with clarity. He said, فَإِنَ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَنْ لَا تُغْلَبُوا. So if you are able to not be overcome, such that you will miss out on a prayer which is before the rising of the sun, that is the Fajr prayer, and a prayer that is before its setting, that is the Asr prayer. If you are able to do that, to not miss these prayers in their time, the Fajr and Asr prayer, then do so. Some of the scholars said that the relationship between the first part of the hadith and the second part of the hadith is the importance of these two prayers, and that this would be a means of a person, yani, being honored with seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah. That it's important to perform these two prayers. They are the best two prayers of the five, and they are the most important of them. And care should be given to these two prayers. Yani every prayer. Yani hafidhu ala salawat. All the prayers have to be guarded and protected and preserved, but especially al-wusta. And in another hadith, the Prophet mentioned the importance of the Fajr prayer. Naam. And the importance of both of them. Yani the bardain, the two cool prayers. Yani the Fajr and the Asr prayer. Naam. Then, after the mention of these three hadith, Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah says, إِلَىٰ أَمْثَالِ هَذِهِ الْأَحَدِيثِ الَّتِي يُخْبِرُ فِيهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِ بِمَا يُخْبِرُ بِهِ. He said, yani, these are examples. إِلَىٰ أَمْثَالِ هَذِهِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. Yani, these are, and there are more. Yani, these are just examples. And so there are many examples of such hadith in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs us in them about his Rabb. Yani, many hadith in which he has informed us in them about his Rabb, with that which he has informed us of. Yani, in other words, that there are lots of hadith, these are just a sample of hadith which contain sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same way that we affirm yani the sifat of Allah that came in the Quran. So this is just a sample of that which contains descriptions, sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just a sample of yani a hadith that contain yani a sample of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that must be affirmed yani without negating them or denying them or interpreting them and so on, as the Shaykh will mention in the commentary. And then he says, فَإِنَّ الْفِرْقَ النَّاجِيَ أَهْلَ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِذَلِكَ. For indeed, yani the firqa najiya, the saved sect, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah, yani who join together upon the truth, they believe in that. كَمَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أَخْبَرُ اللَّهُ بِهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ. They believe in these hadith, yani what they contain, just as they believe in what Allah has informed us about in His book, the Qur'an. Yani there's no difference between how we believe in these sifat that are confirmed in authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, no difference from how we have to, the obligation to believe in what came in the Qur'an. He said, يعني من غير تحريف, without يعني distorting their meanings, ولا تعتيل, without denying their meanings, ومن غير تكييف, without trying to explain the how of them, the reality of them that's known only to Allah, ولا تمثيل, without making examples, يعني trying to make an example to clarify the sifra of Allah, comparing it to something in the creation, بل هم الوسط في فرق الأمة. Rather, the فرق الناجية, the أهل السنة والجماعة, they are the wasat, they are in the middle, yani between the extremes, they are in the middle, the moderate people, they're in the middle between the opposite extremes. Just as كما أن الأمة هي الوسط في الأمم, just as the Ummah of Islam is in the middle, is the moderate Ummah between the nations, then likewise the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the middle, moderate group between the different groups, yani of the people who identify with Islam. They are the moderate group in the middle, the balanced. Naam. He said, فَهُمْ, and here he mentions five important fundamental matters about which the people who identify with Islam differed. And he's saying the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the wasat, they are in the middle, moderate, balanced group between the extremes, the extreme deviations of people who identify with Islam. On five principles he mentions here. He said, just as the Ummah of Islam is in the middle, the moderate group, between the nations who deviated, so the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the moderate group in the middle between the groups of people who identify with Islam who deviated. So he says, بَلْهُمْ الْوَسَطِ. I'm sorry, I read that. فَهُمْ وَسَطٌ فِي بَابْ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ. That they are the moderate group in reference to the subject of the sifat of Allah, which we have been talking about in this book, the sifat of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. بين أهل التعتيل الجهمية وأهل التمثيل المشبهة. Yani they are the moderate group in reference to the topic of the sifat of Allah between the people of ta'atil, the jahmiyyah, who negate the names and sifat of Allah. And the other extreme are the people of tamthil, mushabbaha, yani who make examples and comparisons between Allah and that which is in the creation. So one of them went to the extreme of negating them because they're trying to claim that they are fleeing from making comparison between Allah and the creation, and the other one went to the other extreme, yani affirming to the extreme extent of comparing the sifat of Allah to the sifat of the creation. So the people of Sunnah are in the middle between these extreme deviations. Second principle, وَهُمْ وَسَطْ فِي بَابْ أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And they are in the middle, in the subject of the actions of Allah the Most High. And here, and there's some, I don't know, a little bit of problem in this particular point here, but inshallah we're going to go to the explanation of it. What is intended here, as we'll see in next week's session, inshallah, what is intended here, the af'al of Allah, what? The af'al of Allah, yani that the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah are wasat fi bab af'al Allah ta'ala bayna al-jabriya wal-qadariya wa ghayrihim, between the jabriya and the qadariya. That is the indication, jabriya and qadariya, the people who said people are forced to do what they do, don't have any free will. And the other people said that people do whatever they want to do. Allah doesn't control the actions of the people. These are two extremes. And this is a reference to what subject? Huh? The Qadr. The Qadr. Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah describes as Af'alillah. What is intended is in the Qadr, the divine decree. The people went to one extreme, saying the human beings have no free will, and the people went to the other extreme, said they have absolute free will. They're not subject to Allah's will. The third principle, he said, وَفِي بَابْ وَعِيدَ اللَّهِ, that in the subject of the threat of Allah, when Allah, yani the wa'ad and wa'id, Allah promises something, if He promises, He keeps His promise. He threatens something, He may execute His threat, and He may not. He might pardon and forgive. So in the wa'id of Allah, some people went to the extreme. They said that between the murjiah وَالْوَعِيدِيَّ مِنَ الْقَدَرِيَّ وَغَيْرِهِمْ, yani the murjiah who said that actions are not part of Iman. So they said, Allah's threats have no, don't worry about it. Actions, people are not going to be punished for their threats. They don't deserve to be punished. And the wa'idiyah, or the, from the qadariyah, the other people said, Allah made a threat, He's going to punish you if you do this. It has to happen. He has to punish you. You guaranteed to be punished. These are two extremes. Yani if Allah makes a threat to punish somebody for a sin, He may punish them, or He may pardon, He may forgive, if He wills. Then he said, and the fourth principle, he said, Bab Asma al Iman wa Deen Bain al Haruriya wal Mu'tazila wa Bain al Murjiya wal Jahmiya. Yani the Bab, yani Asma al Iman wa Deen, yani the names that are used like Islam and Iman and Nifaq, yani calling somebody a hypocrite or a Muslim or a kafir or whatever, yani this is a bab that he said there are, the moderate group between the Haruriyya wal Mu'tazila and between the Murjiya and Jahmiya, yani those who said that if people commit a major sin that they're going to be in the hellfire eternally. And the Murjiya and Jahmiya, yani the Murjiya, they said what? That actions are not part of Iman, so yani people are not going to be in the hellfire for committing sins. Yani what matters, the person has Iman in their heart, and some of them said Iman and they speak, yani the, say the word of Iman, that's sufficient. Deeds don't really matter. These are two extremes. Yani one of them saying what? That people commit major sins, they didn't repent from it, they're going to be in hell forever. And other people saying, person is not going to be in hell no matter what sins they commit. And the last principle he said, fi ashabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bayna al-Rafida wal-Khawarij, yani concerning the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the two extreme groups, the Rafida, yani who claim to have love for the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and exalt them to a status that Allah didn't give them, especially Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anha and so on, and the Khawarij, yani who didn't give proper due respect to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are five principles that inshallah we're going to talk about. The Shaykh, we'll look at his explanation in the following session. Tonight inshallah we're going to just look at his explanation of the first three hadith, and then this part inshallah we'll take in the next session, because it does require careful examination, and we want to look at it and we don't want to race through it. So the Shaykh says, wow. Now, not going to be no commentary here. The Sheikh says, we're on page 67 of the Arabic text, Sharh Samahat al-Sheikh ibn Baz, rahimahullah. In his commentary, the commentary of Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says, Yaqulu al-Mu'allif, he says, the author, rahimahullah, says, in the remaining hadith which he has mentioned, yani in that which is connected to the sifat, in the remaining hadith, yani the last three hadith of the 16, which he has mentioned, those hadith which are connected or related to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from those remaining hadith is the hadith, the meaning of which is, O Allah, Allahumma, Rabba al-Samawati wal-Ard, Rabba al-Arsh al-Azim, Rabbana wa Rabba kulli shayin, to the end of the hadith, O Allah, who is the Rabb of the heavens, or as it came in the text, the seven heavens and the earth, and He is the Rabb of the magnificent throne. He is our Rabb and the Rabb of everything in existence. He is the one who splits the grains and the seeds. He is the one who, munazzil, who sends down, revealed the Torah and the Gospel and the, I don't know, in this wording, I didn't pay attention to this either, it says Furqan, naam, meaning the Quran, who sent down the Torah and the Injil and the Furqan, the Quran, and then he said, I seek refuge in you from the evil of myself and from the evil of every animal, every creature that is, that you have taken hold of its forelock, meaning that you control absolutely, that you have complete control and authority over, and you are the first and there's nothing before you, and you are the last and there's nothing after you, and you are the most high and there's nothing above you, and you are the most near and there's nothing nearer than you. So relieve me of debt and make me free from poverty. The Shaykh says, وفي هذا في هذا الحديث العظيم الذي رواه مسلم أنواع من الصفات. And in this great hadith, magnificent hadith, which has been reported by Imam Muslim, there are different types of sifat, characteristics or qualities of descriptions of Allah. So he mentions, yani summarizing some of the different type of sifat that are mentioned in this hadith. From amongst them he said, قَوْنُهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ, yani that Allah being above the arsh. That's a sifa of Allah. He's described as being above the arsh. Also it contains قَوْنُهُ رَبَّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَرَبَّ الْأَرْضِ, yani that He is the Lord, the Rabb, the owner, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the Rabb of the heavens and the earth and everything. That's also, yani, from the sifat of Allah that I mentioned in this hadith. وَقَوْنُهُ مُنَزِّلْ التَّوْرَ وَالْإِنْجِيلْ وَالْقُرْآنِ, and that He is the one who revealed the Torah and the Gospel and the Quran. Yani these are sifat of Allah. Allah is described with being the one who revealed the Torah and the Gospel and the Quran. كل هذا يدل على علوه سبحانه وتعالى. All of this points to or indicates His highness, the highness of Allah, the loftiness of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And it also points to what? أنه ينزل منه كل شيء, that everything comes down from Allah. وينزل منه الأمر, the command, والوحي, and the revelation. كله ينزل منه, everything comes down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah being high, everything descends from Him. وهو فوق العرش جل وعلا فوق جميع الخلق سبحانه وتعالى. And He is above the arsh, and He is above everything of the creation subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the sifat that are mentioned in this hadith. And then he goes on to mention other sifat besides Allah, yani subhanahu wa ta'ala being above the throne and being the Rabb of everything and being the one who sent down the revelations. He says, kauna jamiu an-nawasi' biyadihi yasrifuha kayfa yasha subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that He is the one that the, yani the forelocks of every creature is in His hand. He does with it, yani, as He wills, however He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also from the sifat of Allah showing His absolute power and control and authority over everything in the creation. And then he mentions, وَقَوْنُهُ هُوَ الْأَوَّلِ, and here he mentions some of the names of Allah, and all of the names of Allah contain sifat. So these are names of Allah, and they also each contain sifat. And remember we mentioned that all of the names of Allah contain within them, entail some type of characteristic or description of Allah, but not every description of Allah, yani, gives us a name from Allah, right? So he says here, that also in this hadith is mentioned that Allah is the first. and there's nothing before him. He's the last and there's nothing after him. He is the most high and there's nothing above him. And he is the most near and there's nothing nearer than him. And this is as it came in the Quran, Al-Quran Al-Azim, saying of Allah in Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, 3rd Ayah. هو الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن وهو بكل شيء عليم. And he is the first and the last and the most high and the most near. And he has yani knowledge of everything. Surah Al-Hadid. So here the Shaykh begins to talk about these names of Allah and a little bit of discussion concerning their meanings. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala هو الأول ليس قبله شيء. He is the first and there is nothing before him. والآخر وليس بعده شيء. And he is the last and there is nothing after him. يعني هو الدائم الكامل. And he is the one that is eternal, always will exist, always will exist, complete and perfect. لم يزال موجودا. يعني he continued to exist. يعني from eternity, he always existed and always will exist. لم يسبقه شيء. يعني there was nothing preceding him. ولا يلحقه عدم. And he will, and يعني I don't know. Adam, yani the non-existence. Yani non-existence will not yani reach him. Yani he will not, there will never be a time where he will not exist. He always existed and he always will exist. Bal huwa daim abadan. Yani he will continue to exist forever and ever. Huwa al-zahiru. He is the most high. Alladhi qad irtafa'a fawqa jami'il khalq. Yani the one who rose up above all of the creation. فليس فوقه شيء في الأعلى جل وعلا فهو فوق الأرش والأرش سقف المخلوقات. يعني he, there's nothing above him. يعني in terms of, يعني in the direction of what is above, the, of highness. There's nothing above him. So he is above the Arsh. And the Arsh is the ceiling for the, all of the creation, everything in the creation. يعني the Arsh is above everything in the creation. وهو الباطن. And he is the most near, and there's nothing nearer than him. And there's nothing that separates him. Yani that can separate him from anyone or anything in the creation. يَعْلَمُ أَحْوَالِ عِبَادِي. So from the results of him being the most near, and that nothing separates him from the creation, is that he knows all of the conditions, circumstances of his worshippers, of the created beings. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الضَّمَائِرِ. And he knows what is within their inner selves. And then he closes by saying, وَهَذَا الدُّعَى فِيهِ وَسِيلَةٌ فِي الطَّلَبْ قَضَاءِ الدَّيْنِ وَالْإِغْنَاءِ مِنَ الْفَقْرِ. Yani that this is a dua, it's a supplication. And it contains wasila, yani a means of seeking nearness to Allah. Yani a means of seeking nearness to Allah, here in this particular supplication, for requesting one's debt to be yani paid and to be made to be free of yani poverty. Yani in this hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yani is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove his debt and to free him from poverty. Here the Shaykh goes to the third hadith, the hadith of Ru'ya, and he'll come to the second hadith after. Okay, so he just mentioned this hadith out of order. كَذَلَكَ حَدِيثَ الرُّؤْيَا. Yani the hadith of the ru'ya, yani the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الشَّمْسِ سَهْوًا لَيْسَ دُونَهَا سَحَاب وَكَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ بدر لَا تُضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. And this word تُضَامُونَ came in different narrations with different yani voweling. Meaning, yani it has, so it has some various meanings. In any case, the hadith, the meaning of it is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, "Innakum, definitely, certainly, you will see your Rabb on the day of resurrection, just as you see the sun on a clear day when there are no clouds beneath it. Yani between you and seeing the sun, you will see it just as you see the sun on a clear day." And just as you see the moon on the night when the moon is full. La tudamuna fi ru'yati. In some of the narrations, instead of tudamuna, it has fatha, tadamuna. And in some of them it has, yani with, instead of shadda, instead of the shadda on the name, no shadda. So the wording, yani the wording came a little bit different. The meaning of it, of all of them together, meaning that people will not have any difficulty in seeing Allah. That every person of the believers will be able to see Allah without any difficulty, without crowding on one another, without yani some people seeing and preventing other people from seeing. Everybody will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly. The Shaykh says, تُضَامُونَ مِنَ الضَّيْمِ يعني meaning ظُلْم يعني the one of the wordings with ضَمَّة and without شَدَّة on the meme, يعني the meaning of it is that no one would يعني commit ظُلْم يعني no one would prevent another person from seeing يعني in order to see they prevent somebody else from seeing there will be no يعني difficulty or hardship in seeing وَيُرَى تُضَامُونَ يعني تَضَامُونَ with فَتَّة also it came with فَتَّة And this means that the people would not crowd together. They would not have to crowd together. Minat tadam. And some of them said that the meaning of it is yani, to, that it would not differ. That everybody would see clearly. There would be no difference about what they would see. Naam. And the people would not yani, have to crowd together. لِأَنَّ الرُّؤْيَا بَارِزَ And that is because this seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Yani the sight of Allah would be clear, it would be crystal clear. And it would be obvious, it would be apparent. لا تحتاج إلى التضام. People won't have to crowd together. فالشيء الخفي قد ينضم الناس بعضهم إلى بعض كل يكون انظر انظر. Yani something that might not be yani apparent, that might be hidden, the people might come together and crowd with one another and every person saying, look, look, yani trying to make the other person see. It would not be like that. A person might do that, or the people might do that, he said, لِأَجْلِ الْخَفَى Because, again, it's not obvious, it's not apparent, it's hidden. أَمَّا رُؤْيَتُهُ سُبْحَانُهُ فَهُوَ بَارِزَةٌ وَاضِحَةٌ كَالشَّمْسِ لَيْسَ دُونَهَا السَّحَابُ مَا يَحْتَاجُ تَضَامُ وَلَا ضَيْمُ وَلَا زِهَامُ كُلُّ يَرَاهُ وَهُوَ فِي مَكَانِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَشَكَّةٍ He said, as far as seeing Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, so he will be apparent. It will be clear. The sight of him will be clear, like the clarity in which you see the sun on a clear sky when there are no clouds. It wouldn't require people to crowd together. It wouldn't yani, be any difficulty involved, and no one would prevent another person from seeing, and there wouldn't be crowding. Every person will be in his place. When he, wherever he is at, every person will be in his place, and he will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any difficulty. This hadith yani is showing us the reality yani of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Yawm al-Qiyamah. The believers would see him and everybody would have an equal chance to see Allah clearly. And in the other part of the hadith yani is the mention of yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advising us, encouraging us that we do not allow anything to overcome us and prevent us from performing the prayer before the rising of the sun and prayer before the setting of the sun, the Fajr, and Asr prayers, which might be a means due to which a person yani, would be entitled to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second hadith, the Shaykh says, وَكَذَلِكَ الْحَدِيثَ الَّذِي فِيهِ أَنَّهُمْ لَمَّا رَفَعُوا أَسْوَاتَهُمْ قَالَ Yani also the hadith in which, yani which contains yani the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they, his companions, were raising their voices with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to them, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اِرْبَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ Yani be easy on yourselves, take it easy, don't be hard on yourselves, فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْعُونَ Yani there's no need for you to raise your voices, for you're not calling on someone who is a sum. You're not calling on one who is deaf. وَلَا غَائِبًا You're not calling on one who is absent. Yani one who can't hear or one who can't see you. And in the end of the hadith he said, indeed you're calling on one who is سَمِيًا who hears everything, بَصِيرًا who sees everything, قَرِيبًا who is near. كَذَلِكَ هُوَ بَيَّنَ كَذَلِكَ بَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ سُبْحَانُهُ يَسْمَعُ كَلَامَ عِبَادِهِ وَدُعَاهُمْ And he makes clear, the Prophet ﷺ is making clear in this hadith to his companions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears the speech of his ibad and he hears their dua. So a person, yani, is making dua to Allah, one does not have to raise their voice. If a person wants to praise and glorify Allah, you don't have to raise your voice. And this is something that's very important, especially as has been mentioned so many times by our Imam about people raising their voice when they are praying alone and other people are in the masjid. If you're at home, that's different. You're in the masjid, other people are praying, there's sunnah prayers, some people are reading Quran, some people making dhikr and dua, and a person is praying by themselves and reciting loud like they're leading the people in prayer. And there's no need for doing so. If a person is leading the congregation, they raise their voice so the congregation can hear them. If a person is praying by themselves or leading some secondary group, then there's no need to raise the voice. The Shaykh says here that the Prophet ﷺ made clear that Allah hears the speech of his worshippers and he hears their supplication. فَلَا يَحْتَاجْ إِلَى رَفْعِ السَّوْتِ الْمُخَالِفِ لِلشَّرَعِ. So there's no need for a person to raise their voice in contradiction to what Allah has legislated. Allah has not legislated that a person raise their voice in dhikr or in dua or in recitation of the Quran. This is contrary to what Allah has legislated. يَكُونُ الرَّفْعُ وَسَطًا. Rather, a person should raise their voice moderately, a little bit, yani, so that they can hear themselves. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ لَا تَدَعُونَ أَصَمَّ وَلَا غَائِبًا. And for this reason he said, you're not calling on one who is deaf, who cannot hear, nor one who is absent, who doesn't see you. كَانُوا يَرْفَعُونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ فَأَمَرَهُمَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم لَا يَفْعَلُوا ذَلِكَ وَأَنْ لَا يُبَالِغُوا فِي الرَّفْعِ إِلَّا فِي التَّلْبِيَةِ. وَهَذَا مُسْتَثْنَى جَاءَ رَفْعُ الصَّوْتِ فِي التَّلْبِيَةِ. He said that they were raising their voices. And the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they were raising their voices. So he commanded them not to do that and not to exaggerate in raising their voices loudly, except in the talbiyah. Yani, the person who is performing Hajj or Umrah and they are reciting the talbiyah. Labayk Allahumma labayk. Hadha mustathna. This is an exception to the general rule that dhikr and dua and tilawatul Quran should be in a moderate tone. There should be no raising of the voice in these occasions. This is an exception to that, as it came, yani, in the sunnah, the raising of the voice, that people raise their voice in the talbiyah. Amma takbir al-adi, but when a person is making the takbir, yani the general takbir, outside of the talbiyah, yakunu wasat. Person should be moderate, and not raising the voice. Laysa fi mubalagha fi raf. Person shouldn't go to the extreme, exaggerating in the raising of the voice. And that is because you are not calling on one who is deaf, who cannot hear, nor one who is absent, who doesn't see you. فَهُوَ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ. Even though he is above the arsh, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the arsh, وَهُوَ مَا عِبَادِهِ يَسْمَعْ أَصْوَاتُهُمْ. But he is with his worshippers, and he hears their voices. وَيَسْمَعْ كَلَامُهُمْ. And he hears their speech, جَلَّ وَعَلَى. And for this reason, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. And this is why Allah said in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 186 ayah, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ. Yani, that if my worshippers ask you about me, yani Allah is speaking to the Prophet ﷺ, if my worshippers ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if my worshippers ask you about me, then Allah says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And he didn't tell the Prophet ﷺ here, as in many other ayats in the Quran, then tell them such and such and so and so. Rather, Allah Himself says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Indeed, I am near, I answer the call of the supplicant, the one who supplicates to me when he calls upon me. So this ayat is also affirmation of Allah being near, as it came in this hadith. He says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ إِنَّ الَّذِي تَدَعُونَهُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ مِنْ عُنُقِ رَاحِلَتِي. And for this reason, it came in that hadith, in the narration of Imam Muslim, at the end of the hadith, the last line that's narrated by Imam Muslim, that indeed the one whom you are calling upon, he is nearer to one of you than the neck of his riding animal. فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ قَرِيبٌ لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى الْمُبَالَغَ فِي رَفْعِ الْأَصْوَاتِ بِالذِّكْرِ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near, so there is no need for you to exaggerate, to go to the extreme in raising your voices with the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the praise and glorification of Allah. There's no need to raise one's voice. وَلَكِنْ إِظْهَارُهَا مِنْ بَابِ الذِّكْرَ لِلَّهِ. But rather a person, yani, openly shows, yani, is heard yani mentioning the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is yani, this is just to show one's dhikr of Allah. Yani a person says the words yani in an audible voice so that they openly make yani participate in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا من باب أنه يحتاج إلى ذلك. Yani this is not raising the voice or being heard with the remembrance of Allah is not because there is a need. Yani for Allah to be able to hear you that you have to raise your voice. ولكنه من باب الذكر. But it's just that a person is heard when they are making ذكر. Yani in a moderate voice. فرفع الصوت بالذكر لإظهار ذكر الله. It's just to show, to demonstrate, to show openly one's remembrance of Allah, and not because Allah has any need for you to raise your voice to be heard. He said, this is what? لِإِظْهَارُ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى كَمَا يَرْفَى النَّاسِ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ إِظْهَارًا لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِلَّا فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ يَعْلَمْ السِّرْ وَأَخْفَى وَيَسْمَعُ أَصْوَاتَ عِبَادِهِ وَإِنْ أَخْفُوهَا وَلَا تَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ خَافِيَ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ يَسْمَعُ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ وَإِنْ خَفَضُوهَا وَيَعْلَمُ أَحْوَالَهُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَرُّوا وَلَا تَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ خَافِيَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. And the Shaykh closes this part by saying that yani, the dhikr of Allah should be in a moderate voice. There's no need for one to raise their voice because yani, there's no need for you to raise your voice for Allah to hear you, but rather it's just displaying, openly displaying the praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that purpose, there's no need to raise the voice. And if a person just says, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, it's sufficient. It doesn't require a person to raise their voice. Because Allah hears, as the Shaykh says here, for He knows that which is secret and that which is even more hidden. He hears the voices of His worshippers, even if they hide it. And even if they speak in a way that they wouldn't be heard. Because nothing, even that which is secret, is hidden from Him. He hears all. He is near, and He hears the voices, even if the people make their voice low so that it wouldn't be heard. And He knows all of their conditions, situations, and circumstances, even if they try to do something secretly. No secret thing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the end of the explanation of the three hadith that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions in this chapter. Naam. MashaAllah, and it's almost time for the Iqama. Huh? Allahu Akbar. Tayyib, then we'll stop here then. We'll start yani, next week where we left off right here. I wanted to just read this part that goes into the next part, but we'll save it for next week because of the closeness of the time. I didn't realize it was really that late. I was looking at the hour, like we were almost reaching an hour, but I forgot that we didn't have an hour today. We have less than an hour, right? Allahumma musta'an. Tayyib, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record, and reward all of the good deeds that we do, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us as-sabat, steadfastness and firmness upon the sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant health, good health and well-being to those who are sick, and to shower His mercy upon those who have passed away, and that He grant that He rescue and save our brothers, the Muslims, brothers, men and women and children, in Palestine, in Gaza, particularly in every place in the Muslim lands, whether it's in Yemen or Sudan or China or wherever, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them relief, protect them, preserve them, and grant them victory over their enemies. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.